Well, this year, again, we've dedicated this year to change. Amen. To change. Amen. And I put some things in practice for my own self to change. Some are visible, some are not, right? But the point is that if God wants us to change, we need to get on the agenda to change. You know, I read scriptures, and Janine did a powerful teaching on Wednesday. It was awesome. But watch this. God expects us to go from one place to another place. Let me say that again. God expects us in a walk. He receives us and takes us where we are. But He wants us to go to a different place. Now, some people will get under condemnation with that. Well, I guess I just haven't done anything. Maybe God's mad at me. Forget all that stuff. You're under the mercy of God. You're under the grace of God. He wants to take you from glory to glory to glory, right? But it's His work in you that causes that to happen. Let me say that again. It's His work in you that causes you to go to the place where He wants you. You couldn't go to heaven without His work in you. Let me say that one more time. I said, you could not get to heaven without His work in you. Right? And watch this. But His work in you is something that He graciously wants to give to everybody on the planet. But your key into that grace is your belief, your faith. It's by faith that we're saved, not of works. Right? It's by faith. So faith, and what is faith? Faith is, and again, I'm not giving Bible definition here, but just my definition. Faith is nothing more than trusting what God said is true and then acting like it is. Even if I don't feel it, even if I don't see it, acting like it is. Come on. If turn with me to Romans chapter 4. We're going to talk today about faith in His Word, and I want to get into a specific area, but faith in His Word. In John chapter 1, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and He is the Word. The Word was with God. The Word is God. The Word, what you hold in your hand, the Bible that you have in your hand is not just notes on a page. It's not just words, and some people get all twisted out of, you know, translation, and which translation is right, which one is wrong. And there are some people that will go, this is the only one. Like I heard of a radio preacher that said, listen, if the King James Bible was good enough for Jesus and the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. Right? Now he just located himself, right? I mean, come on. But watch this. Translations, and here's the miracle to me, is that God has had His hand on translations. How do I know that? Because I know people that got saved reading a Living Bible. Some of you might not even know what a Living Bible is, but a Living Bible was where a man tried to read the King James to his kids. His kids didn't get it. So he just started out, before he'd read the Bible, he'd write down what he thought the King James said, and then he'd read it to his kids. So it wasn't a translation, it was a paraphrase. Here's what I'm saying. The miracle is that God can use anything to get through to you if you're listening. Is it important who's translating it? Yes. Is it important what motivation? Because there are some people who've taken the Bible and said, well, this is our doctrine, and we're going to change these words to match up to our doctrine so that we can, you know, that's not okay. But what I'm telling you, the miracle is through all of the different translations, and most of our translations came in many different ways, but one is they went from Hebrew into Greek, into Latin, into German, into English. Think about that for just a minute. I couldn't go around the word and say, you know, Mary, quite contrary, and go around the room and tell all of you that, and by the end of, well, Mary was this contrary and that didn't do anything right. I mean, it would get twisted in the translations. But God had his hand over so much, and there was concern about, is this accurate? How do we know that this is real? There was the Dead Sea Scrolls came in is when this king, shepherd was looking in these caves and he found all these scrolls of paper, right? And so they were written, actually these were written even before the time of Jesus. And they were able to take them out and interpret them, and they were word for word what we have in our English Bible. That's amazing to me. No other book, no other literary work matches that. Because God has his hand on his word. Why? Because he wants you to know and have assurance that his word is true. You cannot have faith in something you don't trust. But I'm telling you, you can trust his word. Let me say that again. You can trust his word. I want to get into this, but I just feel compelled to tell this story. I've told this to you before. I was down in Tulsa speaking, actually with Gary's daughter, and she'd been through a lot of trauma in her life. And so she'd been going to counseling and all of these things, you know, and she's a little headstrong, but I wonder where she got that. Anyway, she's a little headstrong, right? But she would just, you know, she said, I'm just going to start reading the Word. And she told me for the last couple of years, she said, I've read through the Bible 4 times every year. Cover to cover. 4 times every year. Put me under conviction. So I started doing the same thing. Every time, 4 times a year. She said, that has done more to help me. And she's not against counselors, neither am I, but all the counseling that I've done, all the self-help books I've tried to get, all of these things, putting the word into me on a consistent basis. It's about 45 minutes a day to an hour reading the word to get it 4 times a year. That's not that much time. That's not a magic formula, but what I'm telling you is the power of the word of God. But it's not just the Word of God on this paper. It's the Word of God that you believe and put into your heart that makes the difference. Come on. There are people who know the Word. I've listened to people who have theological degrees but don't know Jesus. But they can argue over certain texts. But you know that their argument is coming from their head and not from their heart, which goes through their head. Is the Word of God alive to you? Yeah. Right? That is the first stage or the first step of walking through what we're going to walk through today. Yeah. All right, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Faith is the key to receiving all that the grace has given to us.
Hallelujah, glory.
You know, there's more, there's a lot more. I mean, this is awesome. God's grace, His love, His mercy was shed, was put Jesus on the cross to die for our sins, but it did much more than that. Think about this. It would be one thing to say, come on, you can come into heaven. But the difference is that when we were transformed by becoming born again, we were no longer slaves who got to come in. We were children who belonged.
Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy.
So when you get home, right? There's a celebration waiting. But the celebration didn't start when you die. It started when you got saved. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when one sinner is led to repentance. That's me. Come on, that's me. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of him who believed, God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Here's a key that we have to get a hold of. If you're going to operate according to the word of God, you've got to start seeing things through the lens of the promise of God. In other words, I may not have peace for right now. I mean, there may be a lot of turmoil in my life, but I am going to declare that Jesus has made unto me peace with God, and that he gives me the peace that passes all understanding. Whether I feel it or not, whether my mind will, you know, I'm going to tell my mind to shut up, and I'm going to keep calling those things that be not as though they were, right? Come on. You know, some things about faith that kind of blow my mind a little bit. Like, you know, the scripture that we read, it talked about, Jesus said, you shall say unto this mountain. Right? You shall say unto this mountain. You know what he didn't say? Hey, when you have a problem, come to me and tell me all about it, and I'll say unto that mountain for you. Yeah, but God can do anything he wants. He has already. And he's given us his promise. And Jesus said, have faith in God. But your faith in God will come out like this. Mountain, you have to be removed. I'm speaking, mountain, be removed. And I don't care. It's like the fig tree that Jesus was around. He says, I don't care if it doesn't look like anything's changed. I told that fig tree to die. And so the next day it was dead at the roots. But it wasn't dead that day. And it wasn't dead when they walked by it in the evening. But in the morning it was dead. What am I saying? I'm saying we need to take God's word and put it into practice. But the way that we put it into practice is by faith. And faith, right, begins to call things that seem to not be as though they were. And our expectation is not based on what we see, feel, or touch, or taste. That's the natural mind. That's the natural man. But the spirit man, when you begin to think out of your spirit, you say, this is what God has said. And I'm going to walk in the reality of what he said is true. So sometimes it's like, debt, you're gone in Jesus' name. Debt, you're gone in Jesus' name. Let me just give you a couple of other things. How many have been in situations where you didn't know what to do? All of us. All of us. And our natural mind, our natural inclination is to, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, I don't want to do. And what is happening, the more that you repeat that, fear begins to crowd your peace, strangle it, and it's gone. But what if you began to rely on the promises of God, where he said, Jesus has made unto me wisdom from God. What is that? That means Jesus paid the price so that God could give me the answer to what I need. And he could show me what to do. Watch this. Even though I don't know right now, today I don't know, I'm still in the same mess that I'm in. But I can start rejoicing because God is going to show me the way out. God is going to speak to my heart. God is going to bring somebody by. God's going to give me a book. God's going to show me a verse in the scripture. I don't know where it is, and I'm not stressed about that. That's not my job. My job is to rely and say, wisdom is mine because he promised me that wisdom. Why? Do I deserve it? No. But that's where grace comes in. His grace for wisdom is over you right now. His grace for wisdom is over you 24/7. But your access to that wisdom is whether you believe it or not, and whether you act on it or not. Whew. I'm going to start calling those things that be not as though they were. And again, this is not just a blanket statement. I'm just going to call myself a billionaire in Jesus' name. I'm a billionaire. Well, first of all, you don't have any promise in the Word of God that says you're going to be a billionaire. And the second part is there's always, God gives a promise, but He requires us to do actions to get that promise. Well, what I mean, that you're not earning it, but there's laws in place, right? I'm not going to go down that road, or I'll get it. But watch this. What I'm saying is that God has given to each one of us a measure of faith to believe Him and His Word and His promise. And again, the promise is to everybody, Jew and Gentile. What does that mean? If you're a Jew, the promise is to you, right? If you're a Gentile and out, the Bible talks about us being far away from the promises of God. There's no way we could enter into it. But Jesus changed all that, right? He made out of the two, those that were Jews and those that were Gentiles, one new man. But all of that is based on the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did, right? And so a Jew can be saved the same way that a Christian can be saved, or a Gentile can be saved, because they come to the knowledge of Jesus as the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who came to save us from ourselves.
Amen.
Right? So it's by faith. I don't always feel saved. I don't know about you. There are days when, Lord, are you sure you want anything to do with me? But my feelings have nothing to do with it. I'm saved because He said I'm saved. When did He tell you you were saved? He told me I was saved when I acted on what somebody said to me about the good news, the gospel. And that moment, that second, I got saved. And whether I feel it or not, I declare myself saved and right with God because of His righteousness. Look at verse 18. No, wait, 17. As I've written, I've made you the father of many nations in the presence of Him who He believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. I just want to tell you right now, I don't care how dead you think your hope is, God is calling those things that be not as though they were in your life. And what I want you to do is start calling upon the same thing. My future is great in Jesus. And it's not based on what happens in the world. It's not based on whether World War III happens and bombs start flying. My faith is in Jesus Christ, and He will see me through and get me through. Glory to God. I believe it. Verse 18, who contrary to hope believed in hope. That almost seems paradoxical. Contrary to hope, believed in hope. What, are you nuts? No. How could I believe in hope when there is no hope? Because my hope is not in what I see, not what I feel, not in what's around me. My hope is in the salvation that came to me through Jesus Christ. And Abraham, this, what he's talking about here, as he's talking, man, a dude was 100 years old. We're going to read it. He's 100 years old. Wife was old too. And God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations, and your blessing is going to come through the seed that is with Sarah. How can that be? How can that be? Because He said it. Because He said it. Because He said it. How can I say that all my needs are going to be met when I'm so far in debt and there's no outlet, no possible way for me to get free of this? Because He said it. He said He'd supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. He said He'd give me wisdom on how to work this thing out and how to walk this thing out. But we have to be in the Word and according to the Word and doing what we know to do. Glory to God. What has God said? He said to Abraham, I'm the father of many nations. He said to Abraham, you're the father of many nations. You're the father of many nations. And against hope, he believed in hope. But watch this. I am who God says I am.
Yes.
Let me say that again. I am who God says I am. Let me say that one more time. I am who God says I am. Now watch this. God had to change Abram's name to Abraham so that he would be reminded day after day, second after second. Here's what I'm saying to you, that you may need to change your name, especially the way you view your name. If your name is associated in your heart and in your mind with the shame of the past, you have to change your name to the redeemed. I am Bruce the redeemed. I am Bruce the beloved. Are you with me this morning? Are you listening to me? You see, we have to start calling those things that we may not feel, but we know are true according to the Word of God. We need to start calling those things over our life. And again, there's no arrogance involved here. There's no, boy, look at me. It's all because of what He's done. I need to begin to say what God has said about me. I am the redeemed. I am the redeemed. I have what God says I have. If He says I have peace, that's who I am. If He says that I have joy, that's who I am. But you don't understand my circumstances. You don't understand your circumstances. Hello? You're looking at your circumstances through the lens of you. I need you to start looking at your circumstances through the lens of Him. I can do what God says I can do. I can do all things. Again, watch this. Through the strength that resides in me because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Weak or strong, which are you? What are you considering? Oh, I just don't know what I'm doing. This pressure is, I understand pressure. I understand things that happen. I can understand being under the weight of that. But what I'm telling you is when you're letting your emotions and your circumstances dictate who you are, rather than getting them in line with what God has said, then you're missing it. You're missing it, not from the standpoint of you're lousy, but you're not walking in the full benefit of His grace. Because His banner over you is love.
Yes.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. If I could just get you saying that every day, as many times a day, it would drive out a lot of your, not a lot, all, of your anxiety. Why? Because perfect love that's been brought to perfection, drives out fear. Behold. Woo! Look at it! What manner of love the Father has bestowed unto me. Who am I? I'm loved by the Father. You don't like it? Get over it. That's who I am. That's who I am. So, and contrary to hope, and contrary to what I'm thinking, I need to stand in hope. Standing no matter what comes can only happen when you are fully convinced what God has promised He will do or has already done. And most of the promises of God are already done. They're just waiting for you to believe. Jesus did it all for us on the cross, and He's not getting back up there for you. He's already been there for you.
Yes, amen.
verse 19, it says, who being weak, not being weak in faith and did not consider his own body already dead since he was 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now, I want you to know, if you go back and read Abraham's story, that it wasn't like, well, God said it, I'm strong in faith. He went through years of God dealing with him to get him to the place where, against hope, I believe in hope. I'm the father of many nations. I'm the father of many nations. I'm the father of many nations. Sometimes we have to continually talk to ourselves and go over what God has promised to us over and over and over and over again, so that it goes from just being wishful thinking to where it becomes established is my life. I take ownership of this. Right? Many of you have sat through sermons where I've said similar things. But just because I sit through a sermon or hear a message, it doesn't mean I've heard the message at all. Right. Remember that saying that proof of the pudding is in the eating? Right? Like, if I'm not walking in the light of what God has promised, then I haven't really heard the message yet. If the message is according to the Word and Scriptures to prove it, then I must get in line with the Word. Let's go on. Let's look at verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he would also be able to perform. When it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the promises of God, we need to be fully convinced. And we need to meditate on the Word of God until we are. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The man said, I believe, help my unbelief. How do you help the unbelief? By hearing. That man who said, I believe, but help my unbelief, Jesus said, don't worry, it's taken care of. That's my paraphrase. Jesus answered his unbelief by assuring him what he'd already promised is true. And the same is true for us. All right, go to Acts chapter 1. I want to get to this. Are you ready for this? This is powerful. Acts chapter 1, and I know many of you have read this and could quote this, and there's many ways I could go with this, but we're talking about faith for change. And again, faith in believing God's promise that will allow me to have the assurance that change is possible. And then those promises will give me the way to change and the strength to change and the resources to change. Hallelujah. All of that is in the promise. Right? But look at this in Acts chapter 1. And verse 8, it says, but you, every say you. He's talking to you. He was talking to his disciples, but he's talking to you. If you've been born again, he's talking to you. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. If you're born again, then you're born of the Spirit. And if you're born of the Spirit, you received power when you became born again. Oh man, I'm just waiting for more power. I'm waiting for more anointing. I'm waiting for, and I get that. And there's a place for praying. There's a place for fasting. There's a place for getting alone with God. But that's not how the power comes. That may get you more in touch with the power because you've kind of put other things aside. But the power came when he came. This word power, it's in the Greek, it's dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite. But it also speaks of authority. It speaks of God's absolute power available to you. When? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now let's read the rest. Thank you, Lord. This is so good. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's all of us, everywhere. There's no place that you can go that He doesn't want you to be His witness. Now, what is a witness? A witness is someone who testifies to the truth. But a witness is also one who demonstrates the truth. So power has come upon me to live a life that not only tells of the love of God, but demonstrates it. It's the kind of things that happen when somebody you haven't met for a long time comes to you and, what happened to you? Jesus? Jesus? There's no denying that you're different than you were and that your life is on a different path than it was, and it's a witness to Jesus. Again, our motivation for change is so that we can operate in the love of God at a higher capacity, so that witnessing for Him is something that we are as well as something that we do.
Yes.
Are you listening to me? Well, how can you do that? Because when the Spirit came, His power came. For who? For you. For me. Yeah, but I don't seem to be as powerful as you are. They may have a different vent than you. They may have a testimony that seems great and grandiose and all of that. But I'm convinced that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and dwells in me. But do you believe it? Do you really absolutely are fully convinced that that's the case? Because if we were, our lives would be completely different. Right? I'm not saying you won't be in stressful conditions. I'm not saying that the problems won't come to us, because they will. But when you're assured that He's with you and that His power is in you to help you through that problem, then this is just great opportunity for God to show Himself faithful. Let me say that again. Look at life and there's something that seems to be overwhelming us in our lives, and we can just go to somebody else because we know that His power is in me so that I can be a witness to Him being in my life so that other people can see Him through me. Watch this. I can say, oh man, here's another opportunity for God to show Himself strong on my behalf. Rather than, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is bad. This problem, Lord, you probably never seen or faced. I know that you helped Moses, and I know that you helped David, and I know, but God, this problem here is too big. No, no. But when did you receive the power or the strength or the ability to face those problems and come out on the other side as an example of what God can do in the life of a believer? When you became born again. Let's look at a couple things here. So good. Go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. I like Peter. Why do I like Peter? Because he was a knucklehead and God still used him. He was the guy that, oh, I'm all in, Jesus, one moment. The next moment he's denying Jesus in a fire or around a fire pit. So that gives me a lot of hope, right? If God could use a knucklehead, I'm there, right? So here's Peter again, who had hidden, who was even ashamed and disgraced so much so that I'm not sure he was really fully happy that Jesus was raised from the dead until Jesus met with him. Because he was under the shame of that, right? Of denying him. But Jesus straightened all that out. But here's Peter that anytime he opened his mouth, in one little instant, he said, "You're the Christ." And the next little bit, Jesus is saying, "Get behind me, Satan." So Peter was all over the place, right? But when the Holy Ghost came upon him, when the Spirit of God came upon him, he received an ability that wasn't his own ability, but his ability became the Spirit of God using him to affect people. In verse 14 of Acts chapter 2, it said, "But when Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words.'" This is a manifestation of you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Here's a manifestation is that you're going to be able to open your mouth wide and he'll fill it. Paul and Peter in many different places, when they were under the crucible of you know, just condemnation and of conviction and of persecution, over and over again they said, "Pray for us that with all boldness we might proclaim the gospel." The very thing that they were under persecution for, the very thing that they were facing, whipping and torture, pray for us that we don't let fear get in the way of the boldness to proclaim the power that's in the gospel. How many need that prayer? I need that prayer all the time. But that's my reality because that's who I am. Now watch this. Again, Peter prayed this. Or spoke these words. And it said that after he got through speaking these words, and really they're not that long. They're not as long as the sermon that I'm giving you this morning, right? They're not that long. But at the end of it, men, women came to the disciples and said, "What must we do to be saved?" Are we believing and standing in faith that we received the power of God so that God can use us, and when he uses us, there is there present the demonstration of who God is because we're preaching his word? Amen. I'm telling you, we need to get bolder. We need to get stronger. We need to be more confident in this. We need to start standing in faith. Lord, when I open my mouth, you fill it. It's not the words of an eloquent man who's recited and gotten all of the things perfectly in order so that I can touch your emotion or that I can touch your intellect. Those are good, and there's nothing wrong with being skilled at those things, but without the anointing, I cannot fully touch your heart. That's right. But I have the anointing. That's right. The anointing is here right now. Amen. But it's not my exclusive position. Amen. It belongs to every one of us who has made Jesus the Lord of their life. Amen. Now here again is Peter, and he's speaking. And then if you just go another couple of chapters in Acts chapter 3, it said that Peter and John were going to the prayer meeting at the synagogue that they did all the time. And as they're walking by, here's a beggar. And I'm convinced that this same beggar who's, you know, asking alms, because that's what he did. He had no other way to get money but sitting there asking for alms to come. He's sitting there, right? And he said, alms for the poor. And then Peter, by the power of God that was in him, the Holy Spirit, had a word from God or a knowledge or a quickening from God, fastened his eyes on this man who was asking for alms. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What did he have? He had the power of God that came to him when he was filled with the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came upon him. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. When is the last time we ever even thought that we can say and act and live out of the same words? I may not have the ability to change your circumstances in my own ability. My wallet won't pay that bill, but I can lead you to the one who will. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What did he have? He had the power of God because the Spirit of God was in him, and that Spirit of God could change and alter that man's life.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
If he just believed the words that he was speaking, and the words that he was speaking was the utterance of the Most High God. The Bible says in 1 John that you have. Everybody say, I have. Say that a little bit louder. I have an unction from the Holy One. I have an unction from the Holy One. Come on. I have an unction from the Holy One. It changes everything when you start believing that. I have an unction from the Holy Spirit on how to raise my children. I have an unction from the Holy Spirit on how to love my wife. I have an unction from the Holy Spirit on how to pastor a church. I have an unction from the Holy One on knowing what to do with my finances. I have an unction from the Holy Spirit to know what to do about my body. I have an unction. Are you listening to me? It came to me when the Holy Spirit came to me. I need to grow in my assurance, and contrary to the hope, I need to believe in the hope and call those things that be not as though they were. I know what to do. I know what to do. And somebody say, you know, somebody comes to you in prayer, they got this thing, and I've had this happen so many times. They come to me and they're giving me the circumstances they're in. And I'm going, not outwardly, but I'm going, oh my God, this is bad, or whatever. But inwardly I'm saying, Holy Spirit, you know the answer. You know the answer. And I mean over and over and over and over in my life since I've been saved. There's words been come out of my mouth that I went, did I say that? Right? Because it was the Holy Spirit. It was wisdom from God. I have an unction from the Holy Spirit. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Jesus has made unto me wisdom and sanctification and redemption. That's who I am. That's what I have. So I may not have the answer in this noodle, but I have access to the Spirit of God that can use me to be a witness for Him by Him demonstrating Himself through me to you. Are you listening to me? And again, that's not because I'm a pastor, although I am. That's not because I'm anointed to preach, because I am. That's because I'm a believer. So faith for change is start calling the fact that you have power from the Holy One residing on the inside of you. Start calling that into your life. Before you pray, before you go over your problems, before you get on Facebook and tell everybody how terrible things are, spend some time meditating on the fact that the Holy One lives on the inside of me. Greater is He who's going to be in me when I get to heaven. Is going to be in me when I'm just holy enough. Greater is He who is in me than he that's in the world. The greater one lives on the inside of me. It's not by my might. It's not by my strength. But it's by His power. I'll just close with this. Thinking about Stephen. Stephen was a waiter. He wasn't necessarily a preacher. But in his waiting on tables, miraculous signs and wonders were being done. People were coming to him. Pray for me, man. When you pray, I see results. It got him in so much trouble that he had to go up before the religious board of the day that had the power to kill him. But because he was full of the Holy Ghost, in fact, when he was called to be the waiter, the apostle said, listen, these trivial things we can't do. We've got more weighty things to do. But he said, find out among you, find seven men who were filled with the Holy Ghost. Who are filled with the Holy Ghost. And it is. So Stephen preached. Many people were convicted and brought to the Lord. And even in his death was victory. Because they saw the glory of God on him. And I believe it was one of the seeds that went into Saul before he was Paul. And we have the whole New Testament because of it. So what am I saying? I'm saying that that is you today. When the Holy Ghost came upon you, you received power. Power to change and power to be a witness. Amen? Did y'all get something this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. If I could have the worship team come up. And if you need prayer for anything today, there's a lot of people here who received power when the Holy Ghost came upon them. And the master or the head of the church told us to lay hands on the sick. And in fact, it said, if there's any sick among you, have them call for the elders of church and the anointing of oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. I believe that. I believe there's deliverance here. I believe that there's healing here. I believe that there's answers here. I believe there's agreement here. We have to come in faith and believe. So if you've been prayed for before, you say, just come again. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. No condemnation, no, well, I prayed for you before, I'm not doing that again. No, we'll just continue to pray because we're going to pray believing in hope, even contrary to hope, because He's there for us. All of you that watch online, God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Father, we just pray for everyone that's here and everyone that's online. The first step to receiving the power that's in the Holy Ghost is to become born again. And the Bible says that if you'll speak with your mouth, confess, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. You need a Savior, you know it. If you need a Savior, you know it. Ask Jesus, who is your Savior, to come into your life. Give yourself to Him, and you'll be born again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. Amen.